scripture reading this morning. We turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and we read chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Hear the word of God. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast up down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth held the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now the text this morning is the last part from verse 4. That is the leading thought. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. But then also the last part of verse 17, that he went to make war with the rest of the woman's offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure that most of us have heard or perhaps even sung a song that goes this way. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be, with God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Well, it sounds very good, of course, and it would be wonderful if this could be the case, but the news keeps telling us differently. And just this past week in the newspapers, at least London way, there is one fellow, a young father, I believe, arrested in the Niagara Peninsula because he had shaken his baby to death, and another baby was shaken to death in Mitchell, and they're still looking for who did that. And then there was a son in his 30s, I believe, who killed his father with 50 stabs of a knife. And then we don't even talk about what happens in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And we don't talk about what happens in Haiti sometimes, where it gets pretty dangerous because people cannot wait in line and the weaker ones suffer under it. Well, and you can ask, what gives? Where is that peace on earth of which the angels spoke? But then we have to know that the peace of which the angels spoke begins always with a peace in the heart of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A peace which Philippians 4 tells us that it passes all understanding, which comes to the people of God's favor. But then the Lord Jesus himself says, do you suppose that I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. You find that in Luke 12, verse 51. The truth is that as long as this world continues, there is going to be war on earth, as there has been basically ever since the fall. There are two reasons for this ongoing violence on earth. One reason is the sin in every human being, the corruption of the heart, which produces all kinds of evil deeds and words. But the other reason is that ever since the fall, the evil one, the great dragon of Revelation 12, has been out to prevent our triune God from bringing about total restoration of his creation, including the total restoration and salvation of his people, his human beings. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ has been constantly under attack while carrying out his work of restoration and salvation. We know how, while everything was still new in the new creation, it was very good. But then the serpent came to seduce the woman, and how the serpent succeeded we know, so much so that the woman also caused her husband to sin and eat of the forbidden fruit. And we also know the consequences of that fall. Of course, the curse on the serpent and the negative effects on the woman, including the pain of giving birth, and the negative effects on the man, including having to eat his bread in the sweat of his brow all the days of his life. No freedom at 55. And yet at the same time, the Lord God showed his grace by making the mother of promises, as we know it, to Adam and Eve, declaring that he would put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. And then the Lord says to the serpent, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so that is a clear prophecy that the seed of the woman, will in the end kill, destroy the serpent, which we know is the evil one, whereas in Revelation 12, the great fiery red dragon. And so the serpent, the dragon, is there when the Lord speaks these words. And so he hears those words. And so what does the evil one do? Does he now sit down and mope in a corner that one day he will be killed? No such thing. From that moment on, the evil one will do his utmost to keep the woman from giving birth to the seed, which then should succeed in destroying him. And this now is the second reason that there has been no real and lasting peace on earth. The first reason, like we said, is the sin in man's heart. But the second reason is that ever since the fall, the Lord God has carried out first his preparatory work for the restoration of all creation while being under constant attack by the evil one. And that then is the theme for the message at this time. This afternoon, we will consider the Lord Jesus Christ on the attack. But this morning, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ under attack. We first look at the attacks before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, at the attacks during his life, and thirdly, the attacks after his ascension. First, then, the attacks before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of us may have read about the way warfare was carried out a few hundred years ago in the Western world, even while there was a battle between Canada and the United States, and the English troops were here. And they would just march in lines up against each other. A bunch of lines of soldiers going this way, a bunch of lines of soldiers coming this way, and then at a certain point, the commander would say, "Shoot!" And of course, everybody shot, and well, you can imagine the results. I mean, lots of people fall down, of course. And then they get close enough, and then it becomes hand-to-hand combat. Well, that, of course, is all gone. Today, we are familiar with a totally different kind of warfare, like carried on now in Afghanistan by the Taliban. It is sneaky, with explosive devices buried in the roads or pathway, and hit-and-run attacks, and hiding among the villagers, and so on. Now, the evil one already used that kind of sneaky attack from the very beginning, thinking that one of the children of Eve might be the one who would destroy him. Even Eve thought it was Cain who would do this. So the evil one got his claws into Cain and set him up against his brother Abel. And this is not to excuse Cain. The Lord clearly warned him. Cain did not listen. Nevertheless, Satan succeeded in destroying both Cain and Abel. Cain by making him a murderer, and Abel by having him killed. And this was definitely an attack on the seed of the woman, as we read about in Revelation 12. And then we read about the children of Seth, who fall away from the Lord God. So that in the end, there was only one righteous person left, which was Noah. Again, the seed of the woman was just about wiped out. But by now you may wonder about this great red fiery dragon standing in front of the woman being with child. Does this speak of Mary? Why, yes and no. It includes Mary. But the scripture here clearly speaks of a great sign in heaven. And this sign is made up of a constellation of stars known as Virgo. And the second sign then in heaven is the great dragon seeking to devour the child as soon as it is born. What this speaks of is not one single incident, but a whole history from the time that the Lord God told the serpent what would happen to him until his defeat by the seed of the woman. And so we see here actually the whole time from the birth of Cain until the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that time, the evil one did try to destroy the seed of the woman. And all that time, the Lord God did carry out his preparatory work for the restoration of creation while under attack. We have spoken about Cain and Abel and also about Noah. Now, we can't mention all the occasions, but just let's list a few. There was the command of Pharaoh to the midwives to kill all baby boys upon the earth. You know what that would have done. Then there was the command that the Israeli mothers had to drown their baby sons. And we know how it went with Moses. Now he was spared by the grace of God and raised in a hidden place and then matured in the wilderness. And then we go to the promised land. And we know first of the time of the judges how God's people were seduced again and again to fall into idolatry. And later on, what happened after King Solomon. Time and again, the Lord God, in his grace and long-suffering, caused them to return to himself. You did bad, but I will not give up on you. Just as many times, they fell away again because of the sin in their own hearts, but also because of falling for the temptations of the evil one. And the evil one just kept on scheming to keep the seed from being born. But here now we have a very enlightening situation. Namely, when Gabriel comes to Mary to announce to her that she will bear the Son of the Holy One. Clearly, the serpent does not know that. I get asked sometimes, does the serpent also know everything? Is the serpent also the devil? Is he omniscient? And then you see here, he was not. He was not there when Mary moved, walked to Bethlehem at the end of her pregnancy. He wasn't there when she was born. And so the serpent stays in the dark. Who will bear the seed? And also he stays in the dark even where it will be born. The evil one doesn't know. Evil one doesn't find out that the seed has been born until the wise man come to King Herod and ask the king where the king of the Jews is born. And Herod, as we see a little bit later, is clearly a servant of the evil one. And then it becomes public knowledge that a king of the Jews is born somewhere, for we're told that all of Jerusalem is troubled by that news. Now, you see that the evil one didn't know when and where the seed was born. Now, what do we do with this information about the dragon standing in front of the woman? Well, the woman really is not just Mary, the woman is Israel. We may say that the woman is Eve. We also may say that the woman is Rahab. We may say that the woman is Ruth. We may say that the woman is Mary. We may also say that the woman is the church in the Old Testament. The woman is there to bring forth the seed which will destroy the serpent, the great red fiery dragon. And so when we read the Old Testament, this information about the efforts by the dragon should be continually at the back of our minds. We have to figure him in as we seek to interpret also what we read in the Old Testament. He is part of the scenery. He is very much involved in that. We must understand, we must seek to understand the happenings with God's people before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, also in the light of this great red fiery dragon seeking to devour the coming seed, because otherwise it will destroy him. Ultimately, the purpose of Old Testament Israel is to bring forth the seed which will make all things new. It's a long journey for God's people and for the whole world, from the fall in the garden until the victory of the seed of the woman on the cross. We can only be deeply thankful that the Lord God has been long-suffering and persevering during all those centuries until it all came together in this simple girl of Nazareth, who must have been a godly girl, saying simply, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to thy word." That was the word, or better, that was the attitude of the heart the Lord God had been looking for ages. But now the time had fully come. However, that did not mean that the attacks now ceased, for they continued, secondly, during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus. We realize, of course, that the first attack already came through the cruelty of King Herod. For a man who kills his own sons and his own wife for fear that they will push him off the throne is not a godly man. The killing of the baby boys in and around Bethlehem is the slash and burn approach comparable to the efforts to blow up planes in the air and that of suicide bombers on the ground. We may conclude from this comparison who is behind the efforts to prevent a more peaceful and just world in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's the evil one. But the murder of the little boys in and around Bethlehem failed, because through a dream, Joseph was warned to flee to Egypt. And once again, it is clear that the devil doesn't know everything. For if he had, he could easily have gone after Joseph and Mary on the way to Egypt, and he wouldn't have to have to kill the baby boys. After that, there remains a very quiet time until the Lord Jesus causes himself to be revealed through baptism by John the Baptist. And then the devil comes to tempt him in the wilderness. Now, we must not think little of these temptations. We are given the description of three of these temptations. But the Bible tells us in Luke 4, verse 2, that the Lord was tempted by the devil for 40 days. We sometimes have the impression that for 40 days he didn't eat or drink, and then the devil came with the three temptations. But that's not what the Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that the Lord was tempted by the devil for 40 days, and in that time he indeed ate nothing. The three temptations which are written down for us at the end of the 40 days, yeah, they may sum it up, but those 40 days themselves must have been a continuous attack by the great red fiery dragon. And the only way to answer and resist those attacks was the ongoing perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus to his Father in heaven according to the word of God. Now just imagine this. We cannot. Can you really imagine how strenuous a battle that must have been? 40 days, constant temptation. How even then already the victorious outcome of Christ's saving and restoring work rode on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the desert those 40 days? We know that the devil came back to tempt again, for we're told in Luke 4, verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, you know what that means? When he had attended every, he had He had nothing more to throw at Christ. He had thrown everything at Christ that he could think of. And when he had came to that point, he departed from the Lord until a more opportune time. We realize that no doubt there were huge struggles also for the Lord when his death came into sight. Also in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the point here is that the 3-year ministry of the Lord Jesus on earth was no easy time at all. Sometimes we have in these days modern, you could say, lives of Jesus, and how he was a wonderful guy and how he joked with his disciples and all that. When I read this and I cannot think that way, then I see that his time on earth was a continuous battle against the evil one to remain faithful to his Father, to remain faithful to his calling. We have to think here of who it was that attacked him. At one time, it would be the shrewd and slippery serpent trying to surprise the Lord, and at another time, it must have been the brutal force of that great fiery dragon which confronted him. And this also explains why the Lord spent so much time in prayer. He needed to be strengthened continually to remain faithful in his calling and to the plan and purpose of the restoration of the Lord God. And because of all this, we should realize that the saving work of the Lord Jesus did not only happen on the cross. It happened there, but not only. In that sense, he suffered during his whole life on earth, and he was under constant pressure to give in to the devil. And by bowing down to the great red dragon, the Lord would have obtained all the kingdoms of this world. However, it would have been a hellish possession and a hellish life for the whole creation, especially for man. We may think sometimes that what's going on in the world is terrible enough, but if he would have bowed before the evil one, it would have been much, much worse. But the Lord remains faithful, and he is victorious on the cross, and he ascends to heaven, now no longer tempted, but free from the attacks by the devil. However, now we come to the period after the Lord's ascension. And we might think that the devil would have considered to give up and to surrender to the Lord. But the devil did not quit. He now went after the woman who had given birth to the Savior. And we're told at the end of Revelation 12 that the dragon was enraged with the woman, exceedingly mad, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now we no doubt realize that the woman continues to be the church, now the church of the New Testament, and that her offspring are those who by faith through grace have been born again as brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. One translation even reads that the dragon declared war against the rest of her children. Another paraphrase has it that helpless with rage, the dragon raged at the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children. Now, all this should make us wonder, well, maybe it doesn't, but I want to raise the question, whether we perhaps are too comfortable here. Perhaps that's only me. And perhaps you all have everyday experiences of living in a war zone? Do you daily experience being under attack by the evil one? Do you experience being under attack in your daily life to such an extent that you plead with the Lord God to keep the evil one from you, to protect you, to uphold you? Just something personal. I was 13 going on 14 during the last year of World War II, and the German soldiers were all around where we were. We saw the cannons a kilometer behind our house firing at the nearest city, There were dog fights in the sky and overhead, hundreds of bombers on their way to Germany and back. Hostages were taken by German troops and shot without mercy. That was living in a war zone. And all this makes me ask, how must we understand this, that the great red fiery dragon is making war with the woman and the rest of her offspring? Where do we see the effects of his attacks on us, on the churches? Or perhaps, where must we look to see these attacks taking place? Does he come to us in a rage, or as the slippery, sneaky, shrewd serpent? And how well are we prepared to withstand him? Do we think each day when we get up that we are getting up in a war zone, that we may come under attack, that there may be cleverly hidden explosive devices along our way through the day that suddenly may just blow up in our faces, encounters that may try to blow up our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to reflect on all this, knowing that ever since the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, but also ever since the victory of the evil one in the Garden of Eden, the attacks of the evil one have not let up, have actually increased in intensity on earth since the victory of the Lord Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. And so once more, are we perhaps living too comfortably? So please consider your readiness when you come under attack, whether by the serpent or the dragon. And please consider how it is with your relationship with the Lord, whether you have such a relationship that you may call upon him any time and know that he will bow down the heavens, as it is in one of the Psalms. He will bow down the heavens, come down, uphold you, deliver you. You know, in Afghanistan, places when it gets tough, they call in the planes, the firepower from overhead. Are we in such a relationship that we can call upon the Lord and expect his deliverance? The one thing to do, of course, is to keep the blood of the Lamb of God on the doorposts of your home. And above all, make your home a safe place, not only for yourself, but also very much for your children and little ones. Christ's blood will keep the dragon outside the door. And meanwhile, like a good Boy Scout, be prepared. For until the Lord Jesus returns, there will be no peace on earth for the rest of the offspring of the woman who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Amen.